I'm Tom Wilner reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo, California, and we're here with Tate Burns with the California Cadet Corps.
That's correct.
Tate, pleasure to meet you.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
Self-confess, I know very little about the Cadet Corps other than I see them on retreats and drills on base periodically. Tell us about the history, how it started, why.
Great question. So back in 1911, the California Army National Guard realized they had a need to cultivate, develop, and train leaders for the new California Army National Guard. So in 1911, General Forbes decided to create what was then called the California High School Cadets. And it was in most every high school in California. And it became what is known across the nation as Junior ROTC, so Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. So California was the first in 1911. It started up here in San Luis Obispo and spread throughout the state. As political climates changed, as social climates changed, it was in favor and out of favor in certain areas in California. If you look on our YouTube channel, there's film reels from Azusa High School, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. I think it was in the early 50s, cadets coming up here through train cars into the rear warehouse areas for their summer encampment, which is usually 10 days to 2 weeks. And it was run primarily like a military training program. It then became the California Cadet Corps, and quite often that would translate into cadets going into the National Guard or active duty Army or several different branches. Curriculum was refined and designed to meet the needs of the classrooms in the 60s and 70s, and it became an elective course offered in schools. Recently, maybe the last 15 to 20 years, there's something called an A through G requirement, where Cal State Universities and University of California has made a list of English, science, math, social studies electives that are categorized A through G. So the California Cadet Corps is recognized as a G elective. So students going to a Cal State University or University of California Cadet Corps is an elective that counts towards their efforts at a university. Interestingly enough, more than likely it's a high school course. It's now expanded to fourth grade through 12th grade.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we have elementary programs. We call them Grizzlies, and they're fourth and fifth graders, unless it's a K-8, like I ran a K-8 out of Chino, California. And so then they're combined with the other students up to eighth grade. We have military institutes in California, like California Military Institute in Paris, California, which is fifth grade through 12th grade. They wear uniforms every day, and they go through, each student has a cadet corps class or a military science class.
Is that similar to Youth Challenge National Guard program?
Very good question. So we're up to almost 7,000 cadets in California. That includes the Challenge, Sunburst, and Grizzly programs, potentially be a pre-expulsion to a pre-adjudication program. And they do compete with us in different events and sometimes go through different things with us, depending on security risks and things like that. It does all fall under youth programs. We're extremely grateful for General Cross and Command Sergeant Major Aller with youth programs. They funnel a ton of resources and money through youth programs to California Cadet Corps and the Challenge programs, which are amazing, super successful. General Cross is super involved, really grateful for him. So it's kind of expanded from a high school program to now as low as fourth grade. We also have Oakland Military Institute in Oakland, which is middle school and high school. And then we have Porterville Military Academy that just opened, and that's in Porterville, California. Those are all dependent charter schools. They're through the local school district.
But that's not a part of National Guard.
In a way. And then we also have La Sierra Military Academy. So those military academies have been under an umbrella called the XMI. So the Ex-Military Institute Initiative started under General Gabrielli with CalGuard. And that's allotted funding for state active duty personnel, both Army National Guard and CalGuard, to serve active in helping those schools with everything from logistics to TAC NCOs, to just a ton of support, again, through General Cross and Command Sergeant Major Aller, really making sure that resources get to those larger schools, similar to how the Challenge programs would work with state active duty personnel through CalGuard and through the Army National Guard. There's even some Air National Guard assets that are allotted to those schools. So it's a tremendous resource and opportunity for students. We have a philosophy that exposure equals aspirations. Young people can't know what to aspire to unless they've been exposed to it. And something we're really, really proud of is not only revamped, modern, and relevant curriculum with over 700 lessons. So commandants, those are our adult leaders, can teach this 4th grade through 12th grade and probably never repeat a lesson. So it's engaging. It covers wellness, military subjects, personal finance, all kinds of things that are relevant to schools today. So we're really grateful for that. One of our biggest crowning capstone projects every summer is our summer encampment here at San Luis Obispo. We had just under 600 cadets this year out at the parade field in an encampment.
That's what the group of tents were all about.
Yes. So thankfully, again, General Cross and General Gabrielli really petitioning lawmakers and the governor and getting great funding to where we have a warehouse full of REI, so they're top quality single-person tents, sleeping bags, mats, just incredible resources and materials and a full-time staff to help us get that going. And so they go through 3 days of leadership camp, everything from a little bit of orientation to this is the program, this is how you march, and then some other battalions of more experienced cadets getting deeper leadership skills. And then they branch into an advanced encampment for about 7 days. And we have an NCO academy, an OCS, a drill instructor school, advanced drill instructor school. And we've been adding a lot of STEM activities. So we now have an engineering program where they learn the geometry and mathematics of engineering. They build a bridge. We have a drone program where they learn and potentially get their license to fly drones, which for young people is great extra money. We just added a lifeguard program in our partnership with Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where they learn all of the emergency medical components and first aid components of being a lifeguard. We have a medic program run by some amazing paramedics with Cal Fire and other agencies, where they get certified in basic emergency medicine and they can respond to injuries and burns and cuts and one small step below an EMT. So it really exposes them to the medical field. We have a law enforcement program where the National Guard opens up their law enforcement program, their shooting house, their procedures. SWAT teams come up from different agencies throughout the state and give classes, and cadets are exposed to almost like a mini police academy or a police explorer program. And they get, you know, badges for that. And there's, there's an engineering, there's drone, there's cyber. And so we actually have some Army cybersecurity officers that come and teach all of the basic computer coding, cybersecurity. They even go to the computer lab at Cuesta College, and just the amazing amount of resources. And there's basic leadership. There's field skills where they go out in the hills of San Luis Obispo on post and these different training facilities and live for 7 days and learn how to forage for food and how to properly start fires and how to camp and all these things. And then they have an advanced survivor school where they live on 800 calories a day and they have to do different things while navigating mountains and hills and a lot of different programs that really help these young people to walk taller and taller each day and realize their potential. And it's so encouraging to watch the buildup throughout the year, but also that 10 days where as soon as they get off the bus, we take their phones away. So it's a digital detox, which is fantastic. And then they just learn to work together and they stumble through things. And we have a phrase that they're failing forward. And for young people today, it's such an invaluable lesson to fail forward.
Speaking of that, what's the attrition rate?
Summer encampment, we had just a little under 600, and because of injuries, two went home. So it's super small.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And there's a lot of tears the first couple nights. I function this year as a chaplain. I'm an ordained minister on top of being an educator. And so it was a lot of, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's talk about what you're missing. And sometimes it boils down to that digital detox. They can't live without their video games or their phones. They start to make friends. They're missing their families. And then right about the last day or the day before, we get the opposite. I don't want to go home. I've got structure here. I eat 3 times a day. I mean, not trying to minimize anything parents are doing, but there's so much structure and routine that they're now thriving on structure and routine. I had some young men look at me and go, man, here, I'm a sergeant. At home, I'm just someone's little brother and I get picked on. And so those are great teachable moments for, hey, how can you advocate for yourself? Or what did you like here? Oh, I love the law enforcement program. Did you know there's a neighborhood explorer program with your local police department? There's a grant to pay for you to go through that training. And so it's just great to see them, young men and women, just walk tall and advocate for themselves and get a vision for what they want to do. And some of them never thought about a career in the military or going to college or even, you know, some of these things they're doing, medic and engineering, and it's giving them vision to now think about college. It's just super encouraging to see. And there's about 100 adults that help out through that process. And and they all get extremely exhausted.
What if a parent has a kid that wants to go to one of the programs, but there's none locally? What do they do?
So that's a great question. So we just got some regulations changed, and we have a reserve cadet program. So let's say a young person was in a cadet corps program at their middle school, but the high school doesn't have it, or their neighbor does it, but their school doesn't have it. And so now they can join any local program with the principal's permission, because they don't really go to that school. It's primarily school-based. And they can be a reserve cadet and still participate in our events throughout the year and summer encampment. And it's 100% paid by the state. So when they come here, we're paying for their transportation, extra uniforms, food. Parents pay $150 for 10 days, and we feed them and clothe them and house them. And it's a bargain. It's great. But the state, we can always find ways to get a scholarship for that $150. And so it's wonderful when a parent needs a resource but can't afford one. And now it's expanding to VFW organizations may sponsor a cadet corps unit. So it's not necessarily from a school. It's a community-based effort or a community-based unit, which obviously opens the cadets up to amazing mentorship through those veterans groups.
And again, across California, there's a breadth of different places.
Correct. 7,000 cadets throughout the state, from Northern California to Southern California. Primarily in California, most of California's students live in Riverside or San Bernardino County, just for the affordable housing. Most families tend to go there, but it's throughout the state. We have brigades throughout the state.
And San Francisco Bay Area.
Oakland Military Institute's in the Bay Area. We have some units in San Francisco. We also have as far as Yosemite up north, and they, if the school can't afford transportation, again, wonderful support from the state military department. They usually are able to find a rental and pay for it so the commandant can get his kids to an event. So it just super encouraging amount of resources.
That's really cool. So the bulk of the kids are high school age, correct?
I would say the bulk are high school. It's growing in elementary and middle, but absolutely the bulk is high school.
So postgraduate, do the kids typically matriculate to university or colleges? And do they immediately go into an ROTC program?
So our current data, and we're trying to do a lot of more modern data collection with kids graduating high school, right now it shows us about 8 to 10% either enlist or go to a university ROTC program.
And the remainder, what happens to them?
The remainder we're tracking as far as going to a trade school, junior college, or a university, but those that go enlist, National Guard, Reserve, or CalGuard, because CalGuard has some amazing tuition reimbursement programs for some of our young people, it's about 8 to 10%. So some, and because we focus everything on leadership, the emphasis is leadership, we understand the National Guard expects a return on their investment, but they also have never said, hey, unless we get a certain percentage, we're going to cut funding.
It's right here, there's Grizzly Youth Academy, and that's part of the National Guard Youth Challenge. My wife was an instructor there for years. A little dated stats, but I was told that the number of kids that graduate from Grizzly do not exceed the statistics for kids in regular schools as far as how many actually go into the military. You know, one of the naive outside visions is, oh, this is just an artificial recruitment mechanism. But what you're saying about California Cadet Corps, not so.
It varies, and that certainly makes sense for what the challenge programs are designed for. You'll see we purposely put them in a tan uniform. We don't want junior soldiers. The National Guard doesn't want junior soldiers. They don't want cadets being thanked for their service at the grocery store. And I appreciate how they say, no, we want them distinctly different. Mm-hmm. And all of our curriculum focuses on leadership, not so much military service, which, you know, most of us that are instructors are prior service and we share and encourage, but it's got to be the choice of that cadet. We're seeing a lot more do delayed enlistment, which is after their junior year, they go to basic training. And then during their senior year, if it's a reserve or guard unit, they report to those units and they're able to get drill pay during their senior year. We see a lot of that. And then we see a lot of students taking advantage of either reserves, CalGuard, or National Guard for tuition assistance, which is fantastic. But also, unfortunately, even though we're raising some great leaders, they're definitely entrenched and saturated in social media. And so they're afraid of military service and their families are afraid of military service because of what's going on in the world right now. And so we try really, really hard to teach them how to research reality and real news and not fall susceptible to social media, which, you know, could be farthest from real news. And so those create great discussions, But unfortunately, I think that affects some of the numbers that they're just afraid. And I think even, you know, my professional life as a teacher and as an administrator, I see a lot of young people not going into public service. I know a lot of police agencies and fire departments are having a hard time hiring young people.
Any explanation for that?
You know, I can only make assumptions. They're just not interested in the lower pay versus the higher benefit. I think a lot of them since COVID have realized there's great online employment opportunities and to work from home, and they're missing out on the social aspect. And I think that's what we try to encourage during state events and certainly at a summer encampment is socializing outside of who you text or outside of who's online. And I think that's a skill that's just not being taught at home. It's rare that they're being told to go outside and play. And so I think that really reflects more young people going into information technology or something that's home-based. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate.
It is. We're going to have to regroup, join up with you when your next sortie here.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah. To learn more about your world.
Well, we have a great website, cacadets.org. It's robust. We have tons of pictures and video from our summer encampment, especially our growing marksmanship program with our partnership with SLOSA down the street, which is a private firing range. They've really dug in and helped instruct a very safe and effective marksmanship program for, you know, a lot of parents and schools are very anti-weapons, anti-guns, and through a grant through the NRA, we're able to purchase weapons and run a super successful, super safe program, zero injuries.
When I was a kid, everybody went through the NRA,
yeah.
You know, safety, marksmanship, and one. Does that still happen?
As a school administrator in Los Angeles, I know that is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the California military.
That's kind of a shame, isn't it?
It is. It's a missed opportunity to learn responsibility and safety. And the range safety officers and our commandants that worked that program went through it when they were cadets. We have a lot of adults that were former cadets, and a lot of cadets will tell you, especially young women, that I never thought I would handle a weapon, but they just drove home safety, 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 and so they feel very confident around a weapon. They understand gun ownership a lot more. They understand
gun safety.
Right. And it lends itself to life, being safe and you know, thinking ahead and planning. And so if you go to our website, cacadets.org, you will see a plethora of pictures from all different sorts of state events. And on our YouTube channel, there's a lot of cadet interviews, and you'll see young ladies being interviewed about leadership positions and young ladies going through drill instructor school and just the amazing confidence booster. And some of our cadets that you'll see interviews that have gone on to military academies and never saw that when they were young, but, you know, a free and amazing education.
You've been doing this long enough. Do you ever have any kids come back as grown-ups that went on to...
So another great question. So right now, I'm running a week-long academy. It's a minimum of 60 hours, and we call it BCTA, Basic Commandant Training Academy. And for an adult to receive a commission through the state military department, that we have to go through mandatory minimums of training to teach the program and have a credential through career tech education, you have to go through this week-long academy and then take some university courses. So I have, right across the ravine, I have 10 different people right now, teachers, current state active duty that want to teach this. And so they're going through that training academy. Then we have two more training academies. So it's our version of like an OCS program. And so
grueling?
Academic grueling. We understand that some of us are in a season in life where doing push-ups is not going to be super successful, but they're great instructors and great leaders. And so after those three phases of, you know, basically an officer candidate type program, then they can promote past O3 or past captain and take on more leadership roles.
So you're a major?
Yes, sir.
In the California cadet program?
Correct.
State Guard?
Well, we fall under the state military department. So our commission's through the state military department, and we get our pay is a daily rate. So as an O4, I get a daily rate of an O4, not with the housing allowance or anything, just a daily rate of an O4. And it's the state's way of compensating us, making sure that we're on workman's comp if we are injured, especially if we're renting vehicles to transport cadets. So we get that daily rate. Helps compensate our expenses to get to different events and pay for billeting and stuff like that. So it's a nice bonus. My name is Major Tate Burns. I am the state S3 assistant. I assist in professional development and training, and I'm also an assistant chaplain here with Cadet Corps. My 9-to-5 job, I work for the Los Angeles County Office of Education as a school administrator, and I train about 50 different schools in behavior management and restorative justice, which I love.
That's really cool. Jay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
This has been great.
Well, we'll have to do it again with some of our other adults. We have an amazing adult cadre.
Let's plan on it. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Camp San Luis Obispo, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.